started. So our goal tonight is to focus on some very practical aspects of how to create a super Seder for our kids for this year, Tavshin Ayin Vav. So, of course, the night of the Seder is the time for education. It's V'higadata Labincha. And we have to figure out ways to make that connection. You know, the Lashon, some Chassidish Rebbes point out that the word V'higadata comes from the Lashon Gid. But what does the Gid Hanasha do? It connects the two parts of the animal. V'higadata Labincha, we're trying to connect to our kids. And what that means is that we need to find ways to get to where they are. You know, they may not be where we are, so it's our job to reach them where they are. So that's our goal. Our goal is V'higadata Labincha, to connect to our kids, to get them in touch with the main motifs of the Seder, with Emunah and the Ribbono Shel Olam, with Hashgacha, with Jewish history, with our identity, with the concept of being an Oved Hashem, with the concept of Mesorah, teachers, parents and children, all these things. So to do that, I think we can review some of these elements on the outline and appreciate and think about some of the things, some of the suggestions, and I'm sure there are millions more, how to make a great Seder for our kids. So the first place to start, I think, is just on a very basic level. This is a brief overview of the halachic guide in the mitzvahs of the Seder, and that is to make sure that our kids have proper chinuch. Many of our kids in this room are higia l'chinuch, means they really know about the mitzvahs, they really understand what they're getting involved in, and therefore, it's proper that when you do the mitzvah of chinuch, to give them the proper mitzvah. Don't just give, you know, God forbid if a person is in a situation, of course, where they can't afford and all kinds of things like that, but don't just give the kid a shot glass. If he's a gil chinuch, don't give them a shot glass with an ounce and a half or 2 ounces of grape juice. Get a little bigger cup so that they can have the proper shear and that you can educate them that this is the amount that we eat. You know, don't just give them one crumb of matzah and say this is the mitzvah of matzah. Explain to them that you as a child, you get to fulfill the mitzvah just like daddy or just like mommy, whoever it is. So you're going to have a shear. Now, they don't necessarily, you're going to, let's say you're going to take a machmer shear. You know, there are different opinions of shiurim. So let's say you have a machmer shear for matzah is half a machine matzah. And then the mekel shear is, let's say, the shas atchak or whatever is a third of a machine matzah. So you may say to your child, you are going to get a full kesayis of matzah. If you take this matzah and you crush it up and you put it into a little glass, you would get a whole olive, a whole kesayis. So it's not just about, you know, shoving the shear down their throat. I think part of it is about being machshiv the kids and telling them, just like I'm doing the mitzvah the whole way, you're also going to get to do the mitzvah the whole way. And it's not such a big deal to find a cup of grape juice that holds, you know, 5 ounces or whatever. Thinking about shiurim, not just because al pidin you want to be mekayem the mitzvah of chinuch and give them a proper shiur, but I think it's a great way to make kids feel great. You know, I know a lot of the kids in this august group. Your kids love the mitzvahs. And they want to feel like their mitzvahs are chashuv. So if you tell them, you know, this is the size of an olive, and you're going to get that size, they're going to be like, oh, I'm getting the shear just like the regular people, just like the big people. So A, it's the mitzvah of chinuch, but it also, I think, it sends a really great positive message to the kids about them being chashuv, and that the night is about them. And just like we're going to make sure we eat this, they're going to make sure they eat it also. Okay. Now, on a practical level, of course, the most important thing, if you want to get something, you want to ever get something out of something, is you need to put into it. What you put in, that's what you're going to get out. So you need to prepare. You can't wake up 10 minutes before the Seder and say, oh, I'm going to make something meaningful. You know, 10 seconds before Tseul Amad, you realize you're about to get to the expanse. This is like the Mojave Desert of the Haggadah. What do I do now? Well, I don't know what to do now because we're about to hit Tseul Amad. The kids are going to go like nuts. So think now. Think a week before. Think 3 days before. What am I going to do when I get to Tseul Amad? Perhaps this is what Chazal were teaching us with the whole mitzvah of Bedikas Chametz and Biur Chametz before Pesach. You got to prepare. You can't wake up on the 14th, you know, at 12 o'clock, 3 minutes before Chatzos and say, oh, you know what? I got to get my house ready. No, you have to do Hachana. And of course, the idea of Bedikas Chametz is not just practical, it's spiritual, it's personal. But that hachana for bir chametz also applies to the hachana of higalta lebincha. So here are a couple of, just some of many, great resources that you can find online that have different ideas. This is an incredible website. It's called simchatyechiel.org. And this prezi, it's around, we sent it out today, and also it's going to be on the Kola website. You'll be able to download the whole prezi with links and all the stuff that I'm going to show you, came out everything tonight. It'll be available for download. This, they have, it's unbelievable. They have like hundreds of games and ideas and all kinds of shtiklach and amazing stuff. That's one website. Aish has a couple of ideas. This pillgames.com is it's Yigal Kakon, who I went last night, did something in Or Torah. He has a thing of Pesach games. It costs money, but you can actually get like card games, chutes and ladders, and tic-tac-toe, and he'll print the labels, or you print the labels with different questions on them, depending on level of difficulty, and you can actually have like a real cardboard like game, not like what my stuff is like, you know, manufactured, you know, at Kinko's or whatever. But so Yigal Kakon does this. So if you're interested in it, he has some really nice, like top quality games. And then I found this thing, this JewishBoston.com. They have a download for free. You put in your information, and you can download a 15-page packet of different ideas of how to make a Seder exciting. I brought this. I don't get any commissions for anything we're going to mention tonight, but I think it's just a really awesome resource. It's not cheap, but it's called Hakol B'Seder. It's this, you got it in the end? What did you think?
Yeah, it's tremendous. And the thing is, it's not just like there's stuff for young kids, but then it grows with you. There's stuff for future years.
So what you get in it is a Haggadah with a lot of different tricks and games, and then they give you a CD where you put it in and you can print out all the different activities. So it's a really fantastic, I've used it in the past, it's got a lot of fantastic games and toys. It was put out by Geffen Press, by this fellow by the name of Mitch Heifetz, Zichrono Levracha. So these are some ideas that you can use the next couple of days to prepare, in addition, of course, to the things that we're going to be sharing tonight. So preparation is going to be the key, and beginning with the end in mind, thinking about, okay, what's my goal? So the Rambam tells us that you want to keep the kids up. So you're going to give them nuts, you're going to give them treats. So that means that not every, you know, over the course of the night, not everything that I'm going to do is going to be it's not necessarily going to be like the kash of the Shagas Aryeh. And that's okay. You know, you have to think about what's age appropriate for making sure that the kids are excited. Now, of course, if it's all about like some random silly games and they never get the idea that, you know, the Seder is about remembering something and that there's about that there is Hashem and stuff like that. Of course, that's a little bit overboard. But the idea of making sure that you include games, even if they're just fun games, I think the idea of Klois Vegelism, that speaks to that. Okay, incentives. So in our house, we're very big on this, and you can use a couple of different options. So this you can download. I happen to like this. This one we're going to use this year. I'm not sure if this violates any laws or anything, but you know, we're mala the kedusha of the $10 bill that used to be. I think that's Andrew Jackson's hair. I think that just got covered by the Rav's fabulous goatee. So we will. What's that?
Hamilton.
Hamilton's on the 10. Jackson's the 20. Okay. Akitzer. So you want to, first of all, just make sure you don't want to run out of money. That's all. So make sure you print enough. But you can send this to the printer.
Life.
Right.
That's for life.
That's right.
You can print more too.
And you can print that. So fit. Print as much as you want. But I find that this is just another nice educational tool to teach the children, especially if they're old enough, about the Masorah, about who are important people in our life. But if you want to make it more personal, so then you can do something like this. These happen to be our children, at least 4 out of 5 of them. But you can make your own. It really, if I could do it, anyone can do it. This was a Word document with 4 pictures like put like right in the middle. But then this year, I found something. I went on YouTube. You can find a lot of things how to do. You can like how to do open heart surgery. They'll show you on YouTube. I wouldn't do that, but
I've done that.
You've done that. So I found out how to do this. All right, don't tell your patients. At least not before. There's a YouTube. There's a YouTube video on how to make raffle tickets. So this year, one night of the Seder, I'm going to do a raffle. So what you do is you go, you just follow this YouTube. You could take mine. I made 130, and they have different numbers. So the top part, I'm just going to slice off, and every kid's going to get a number. It says Super Seder Pesach 5776. Ticket to Freedom, which is of course a play on the children's game, Ticket to Ride, for those who are into that. It has the number here and the number there, and you just mail merge, which I do know what that is. You mail merge the numbers in. So this is just one sheet, but there are a couple of other ones. You mail, you go on this thing, you mail merge it in, you cut off the bottoms, of course, before Yontif, otherwise that's a separate problem, and then you give out the tops for every time they ask a good question or they have a good insight or a good ha'ara, and then whoever's still up when it comes to, you know, X point that you want to make sure that your kids are up to, you know, Rabbi Gamliel, or if they're older than that, they're going to stay up for the whole state, or whatever it is, you say, okay, now we're going to have the raffle, we have the predetermined prizes. Now, in general, when I do raffles with my kids, I make sure there's a prize for everybody, because the Gemara has this idea about giving out pieces of meat for kachem and stuff like that. You don't want to disenfranchise any of the kids and to say, like, okay, only the top winner, you're getting a prize, everybody else is not getting a prize. No, but you can graduate it. So what I'll do is, and, you know, everybody else is here is smarter than I, you can figure out what's best for you, but I'll lay out, like, three prizes for the three kids who are participating, and the winner who gets first gets to choose the first prize. So there is some value in winning, but it's not to the exclusion of somebody else getting something. And I'm sure there are other incentives that you can come up with. Some people use candy, you know, whatever is good. But I think at least for me, I found that the mila of using these is that it generates, like, added excitement over the course of the night in terms of the Seder dollars, because you can accrue them. And then, by the way, when it comes to Seder shekels, you decide what the currency exchange rate is. It's not one-to-one, because at the end of the night, you may have given out, you know, $100 or $200. You may not want to spend that kind of money. That's totally fine. You could just say the Seder shekels are worth whatever shekel is worth in Israel, potentially, or whatever you want to set. And then there's no... Also, with candy, some people, they don't want to necessarily give their kids at 11 o'clock at night 15 jelly beans, so you can give them 15 of these Seder shekels. That's totally fine. Any other...
Exchange rates
at the Egypt. Right. Any other incentives that people have used that are good for us to think about?
I got the Passover Pal.
What's that?
It's a whole bucket full of stuff. We just got it. It's one from one of our friends. Yes? I can actually show it. Come on.
Is that like PayPal?
No.
Oh, I was thinking like you swipe.
The kinds of stuff.
Thanks.
You know, birthday card.
Yes?
There's the store. I forget the name of it. Name.
Oh, look at this. Yeah.
No,
we'll get to this in a second. Please,
US
we'll hold
toys.
On. Yeah.
U.S. toys, all kinds of tchotchkes.
Oh, great.
It's the idea is the kid gets something. It doesn't have to be valued. Yeah. Right. They get just as excited. Baruch Hashem, our kids are not. None of us are missing.
Right. So that's great. So tchotchkeluch. Okay. Posters. So this, an opportunity, if you want to decorate... It's a great idea. There is a fellow by the name of John Green. He did a terrific, he did a terrific job of collecting some fabulous posters. So I'll give you a couple. They'll be on the website. You can download them. Here's one. Oh, this one. This one is new for this year. He has some older ones and some new ones. The Goshen store is closing, but the Yerushalayim store is grand reopening. Never wears out. The Midbar clothing. Oh, this one was great. Job description in hieroglyphics. And this ad brought to you by the Egyptian Ministry of Pharaoh's Daughter. Bizarre benefits. Some benefits include spending time with royalty, the potential for Olam Haba, an opportunity to save the Jewish people, and other basic health insurance. That was this year. And then he has... Oh, this was great. Oh, the kids will love this.
That's great.
Conquer your fears. Be the first to jump in and let everyone follow.
That's good.
So this is a great way... So you can decorate the room, or these are the kind of things that you can... If you get it done in advance, you can print these on small cardstock and tape them, or... You want to tape, there's this question, but you can glue... glue dot them to the bottom of someone's chair, or you can have them put under their plates, and then when they get to a certain part of the Seder, like, look under your chair and you'll find the clue for it, da da da. Okay, those are posters. Songs. So this again, it depends on your family, depends on your style, like I said before, whatever works for you. But this I found is a very beautiful, clever, interesting book. It's by Benjamin Blech, who himself is a terrifically fantastic individual. So he has some Pesach songs in here, all right? He's got traditional ones, and then he's got this one. Take me out to the Seder, take me out with the crowd, feed me some matzah and chicken legs, I don't care for the hard-boiled. And he goes on and on. He's got almost like a whole song. Now, in our Seder, this year, Mirtz Hashem, they're going to be like 19 adults and 27 kids or something. Not that, I don't know, you know, I can't keep track exactly. If you get everybody doing this, you would have, I don't know, was his name Harry Carey, all of a sudden? Yeah. He would be mamish in lifting in Gan Eden. Imagine what's going on at the Seder table. But you can make up your own songs and just put a rhyme to it, and the kids can really get into that. He has another one. I'll give you one more without...
What's the name of the book?
The name of this book is called The Book of Passover, and it's just a lot of different Torah, chicken soup recipes, maisalach.
Is your PowerPoint going to be available on the
On the Kola website, yeah. You'll just download it. He's got another one. I've been working on the railroad. We've been working on these buildings. Pharaoh doesn't pay. We've been doing what he tells us. My mixing straw all day. Can't you hear that? And he got, you know, this could be, again, if could be, this is not good for your house. Totally not good. Your kids will not like this. But this could be like the biggest thing at the Seder. You print the song sheets beforehand. You get the kids practicing. For some people, especially, they do like an early Seder in the afternoon. They get warmed up, whatever it is. This could be really terrific. If you're into this, I think there's a lot of possibility there.
So we often have our Seder with a lot of our families not from.
Yes.
And they cannot stand the... But we have these song sheets from my wife's old shul from, you know, out in wherever you live, it's still in Illinois, where they have these, like, hokey songs. The adults, it's their highlight of the Seder.
It's amazing.
Singing these hokey songs.
That's right.
But for them, it's...
He has a lot... He has.
For them.
He's got a whole bunch of them. He's got a whole bunch of, like, you're talking about, like, more... like traditional songs, some favorite Passover songs. He's got a lot of interesting things in here besides the songs. But I thought that was my takeaway from this book. And like you said, especially if you have people who are not so familiar, if you have the song sheets in English, that's really, it's a big winner. Okay. Empowering our kids. In the 1920s, there was a chinuch crisis. Chinuch crisis was faced by, believe it or not, the Chassidish Rebbes of the time, led by one person specifically, Rav Klonimus Kalman Shapira, Hashem Yikom Domo, the great Piasetzner Rebbe. And the Piasetzner talks about the problem of at-risk youth, that we're losing our kids. Our kids are not inspired. They're running off to all kinds of isms and who knows what. So he says, you know why this problem is? He says, because today, he says, our kids, they think they know when they really don't. They're exposed to ideas that they're not really ready for yet. So they have assimilated information before they can really process it. So before we have an opportunity to educate them, they already have formulated their own ideas. The Rebbe wrote this. He published the Chovos HaTalmidim HaKdam, I think it was 1929. I mean, he was a prophet, Kemat. Because our children today are exposed and have so much information, we're challenged to stay ahead. So what did the Rebbe answer? What does he say is the solution to this problem? He says, the solution to this problem is not to try to fight with your kids or to try to convince them that you know better. He says, it's to empower them. And to show them that the Ikar Mechanech of every child is the child themselves. That's the core to chinuch, he says, is to enabling the children to shine by cultivating within them the ability to teach themselves. So we're just facilitators. So empowering our kids at the Seder, I would say that's probably at the top. If your Seder looks like this, it might be good, but if the kid is in the background watching you struggle to read the Hebrew with those fantastic glasses, then, you know, look where the kid is.
That's a Maxwell house.
Oh, yeah. Look where the kid is. Look where the three-piece suit gentleman is. Like, who is in the center? It's got to be, the Rebbe says, if we want to inspire our kids, they got to be at the center. They've got to be empowered. And it's not just about us feeding them and us incentivizing them. It's showing them and enabling them to bring it forth.
So there was a book published, I think, 2 years ago. I haven't used it yet, yes. here, but I have it on my shelf. I think it's an SAR teacher.
Yeah.
That she asked maybe 100 or 200 questions of kids of all ages.
Yes.
So the book is the questions and then the answers from these kids.
Interesting.
So the idea is you could use it at your Seder, the questions, I mean, at your Seder, and hear what your kids have to say. You
know, about those...
About those questions.
Interesting. I'd be happy to see it. So here I jotted down a couple of things that we can do to empower our kids, and some of them are educational and some are just making sure that they feel they're owners of the Seder, they're not guests. So first of all, shopping. Some of our kids are old enough to drive, and some of our kids, even if they're not old enough to drive, they're old enough to come with us shopping so that they can get into the preparation for the Seder, so that they own the Seder. Setting the Seder table. You know, if our kids play a role in setting the Seder table, they take a measure of pride in what's going to go on at the Seder. Leading the Seder. Like I said before, it's not for everybody. It's not for everybody's Seder. It depends what's going on at your Seder. But if you have an opportunity to let one of your children say the first three lines, it's like, okay, you're going to lead us in such and such. And all they have to say is the first three words, and then we mumble the rest by ourselves, but they're now the leader. And we take turns, let's say. You can take turns at the Seder. Who's going to be the leader of these paragraphs? Obviously, you're not being Yotze Shomea Kaona with a, you know, a five-year-old girl who's saying the three words. You're just giving her a chance to feel like she's a part of the Seder. You're giving your child a chance to feel like they're involved. Acting. So one of the things people talk about are plays. So you can either act it out, the different scenes in the Haggadah. So some kids are very into that. Or imagine, I saw this in one book, which was interesting. I never thought about this. Have a child act out, or you act out, but really this is about empowering the child, act out the Seder or the story of Yetzias Mitzrayim from someone's perspective. Let's say your daughter is, I don't know, is Miriam. So how, ask her, how would she see the development? Oh my gosh, my kid brother is now Moshe and Shal Yisrael, and I'm going to sing at the, like, let them imagine the Yetzias Mitzrayim experience through their eyes as people. Divrei Torah, of course, making sure, you know, this is also sometimes a challenge, a balancing act. Some of the august members of this group, actually quite a few members of this group have twins. It's a high percentage here. So you guys are very adept at balancing, making sure that everybody gets exactly the right amount of time and everyone gets to shine. And they, you know, that's a big piece of what this is about, even if you don't have twins. Now, the people who have twins, we look to them for inspiration and how they do this. But making sure that everybody gets, you know, time to shine and nobody's, no Bruges in the corner because, you know, little Johnny got to say his little thing and, you know, a Shmerel over there didn't get a word in edgewise. So that's a balance, but making sure everybody gets to say their Divrei Torah. They come with their packets, but maybe even giving them opportunities to say beyond what they, you know, giving them that question that they didn't have. Placeholders. Someone I saw talked about this. I guess this relates to table setting. But having the kids, even if they're not going to set the table, put little placeholders so they feel like, okay, they're in charge. Puppets. This was a great one I saw. Imagine if the kids, some of the kids do this. They make little puppets where they can act out different parts of the Seder. One of the things that I'm going to try to focus on this year at the Seder, I mentioned it before, it's the most excruciatingly boring but very important part of the Seder, and that's the Tzeul Lamad. That's the learning of the Seder, and that's very difficult for younger kids. But if you have, let's say, you have the Torah Shebichsav team and the Torah Shebaal Peh team, you have to look at the Haggadah very carefully in that section. But what's going on there is they take the Chumash, they break it down into little nuggets, and then the Torah Shebaal Peh, the Medrash, is expanding each one. Varav, that's a Torah Shebichsav, and then there's a Torah Shebaal Peh. So we could split our group into two teams. You have the red team and the blue team. You have the Torah Shebichsav. So you're going to hold up the paper for Torah Shebichsav, and you guys are going to tell us the Torah Shebaal Peh. Or something like that, where you get the kids into it, and now you have taken what otherwise was the Mojave Desert and made it into, you know, a bouncy house of learning. Like, wow, you know, that's cool. Or you could switch sides. Okay, you're going to be Torah Shebichsav. Oh, it's very short. Sorry. Okay, don't worry. You'll be Torah Shebaal Peh in 5 minutes because it's really long. You got a lot to say. And finding ways to make especially some of the later, more difficult passages in the Haggadah relevant for younger kids. So these are some ideas of empowering them. If a kid owns the Torah Shebichsav, you know, then it's theirs.
So what do you do? You have two teams. and you get into Zalma.
So here's what I would say. Here's what we're going to do. Again, it depends on the dynamic of your seder. It depends how old the kids are. But you could say, let's say you have two kids at the seder. Okay, you're going to be the red team. We'll have a red T-shirt. It says Torah Shebichsav on it. And by the way, this could work for adults too. You think this sounds crazy? One year when we were when the Kollel ran our Shavuos program at Kins, when we were focusing on Shabbos, I did my shir on Shomer V'Zachar. This is for adults. On Shomer V'Zachar in Kins in the social hall, we had color war. We had the red team and the blue team, Shomer V'Zachar. I had red and blue marmakomel sheets, and I even had T-shirts printed before Yontif. You know, the Kollel dollars are going to T-shirts for Howard Karish. I remember he was one. We had two ways. I split up the room to two teams. We had the red team and the blue team. You could do the same thing. You guys are Torah Shebichsav. You guys are Torah Shebaal Peh. Look in the Haggadah. You see the bold words? Every time where it says the bold words, one of your team, one of the Torah Shebichsav team, you're going to get up and say it out loud. And you guys, you're the Torah Shebaal Peh team. When they finish, when the bold word is finished, then you're going to stand up and you guys are going to read. Now, everyone's going to read the Haggadah along, because you're not going to be Yotzei Shemeh Kohanim with the child. But now, all of a sudden, you have just taught them an invaluable lesson. That when we learn, there are different parts of learning. There's Torah Shebichsav, there's the written, and then there's Torah Shebaal Peh, there's the oral. And you can break it down even further, because those four verses, there's the Aramid Ovid Ovid, there's the going down into Egypt. So you could have the four verses be four teams. Okay, this is team number one, you're going down into Egypt. So they could be dressed up in the going. You're going to go from the door, bring it here, Vayered Mitzrayma, Anas Al Pi Adibur. The next one is Vayareo Asano Amitzim, you guys are having, you know, little Johnny is beating little Sarah with a stick. You know, that's always a big winner. And then the next one is Vanitzak. You guys, everyone's going to hear, is going to have a Tehillim, because you guys are the daveners, Vanitzak El Hashem, and you guys are the Vayotzienu. So thinking about breaking it down by group, and now everybody owns a piece of that Haggadah. They own one of the four Psukim of Aramid Ovid Avi. So those are different ways of breaking it down. Okay, that was empowering. Games. This is awesome. I don't know what kind of games they played 100 years ago in the shtetl, but we got to figure out what's right for today. So this is Noah Amishkin's newest edition of headbands. Last year he was here at this group and he came up with one. This is the new one that you can use. Terrific. It's also, it'll be on the website.
In our seder table last year, the adults got into that
table. Oh, yeah? Totally. Risk cards. These will also be up there. You know, like in Risk, you can... this is just two of them. I printed a whole bunch. I have sheep, I have matzahs, and I have mora cards. And they have questions on them. You get the question right. What happens with the risk cards? You collect them, and then you can cash them in, either when you get three of the same, you shuffle the deck, you get three of the same, or you get one of each. Right? It was the... the whatever it was. Anyway.
Soldier.
Exactly. Cannon soldier and the horse. Arch the cavalry.
Yeah.
Here's another one. Connect 4. We talked about this last year. You can play that. But here are some more ideas. Scavenger hunt. Get creative. Think about your house. Place different things, different places. You can have, even for different steps in the Haggadah, you could have something planted. V'yishamda. That's when you're a mechasa the matzahs and you're magbiah the kos. So you could say, okay, someone's got to find, there is a purple Kiddush cup somewhere in this room, because we're going to need to raise the Kiddush cup right now. Do you know where someone's got to find the purple Kiddush cup? Sometimes you want a diversion, because you have like a four-year-old who's got ants in his pants, and you're somewhere in the middle of Rabbi Yossi HaGalili, and like, how many makas, and the kid's like totally lost. So you could send them on the scavenger hunt to the thing, and like the next door neighbors, like, you know, if your neighbor's with, I don't know, the Katzmans and the Sudans, so then you send them, oh, there's something in the Sudans' basement. You're like, you open the door, just run, just go. But the idea is, if you're getting them up, you're getting them out. There's a bingo board. Again, not such a difficult thing to create. You can make it on Word. A spinner. This is great. You can, you know what you can do? You can take, some of us have, anybody else here besides us, maybe we're old school, have the game where you...
Twister,
where you put your hands on the different colors. It comes with a spinner. So it's not a difficult thing. You pop out the black part of the spinner, and instead of having the spinner be on a random background, you just print whatever you want the spinner to go to. So you could make your own, like, now it's not... it's not the same as when we grew up, because the host is not the same, but like the wheel from The Price is Right. There was nothing better than staying home from school, just if you could get to watch the Showcase Showdown. So you could make your own spinner. And think about it, you could use a lot of different games for that. You could do every 10 minutes, somebody's going to get to spin the wheel. And it could land on, you know, win a tchotchke, like you said, from the toy shop. It could be, you know, find a puzzle. You can make a lot of games by using a spinner. The spinner's already there. So just print something. It takes a little bit of chachma when you print it just to make sure to lay it out right and the right size. But print it. I've done this before when we did sometimes for Parashan Pizza for the kids in the Kolo, you know, the night program. It's the kids love it. They get to spin, so they're empowered. And they're like looking at the wheels going around and around. All of us are thinking like... All right? The spinner. Connect Four. Also, you know, you get to a different part of the Haggadah. That's when you get your next piece. You know, thinking about, okay, I print the pieces before. Okay, 10 minutes into that. Or you said a great Dvar Torah. Here's your next piece. Or we get to the next Seder step in the Seder. You have it printed out. Okay, put it over here. You see it on the right side. Lego pyramids. You need them doing Avodim Hayinu? Great. All right, you guys take 10 minutes. Whoever makes the best sugar cube pyramid as we were leaving Egypt gets to, I don't know, eat it afterwards or something, you know. And then I was envisioning Family Feud. Again, going back to Agirsa Diankasa, Family Feud. If you have multiple families here, this could be really great. No buzzers on Yontif, but you can have everybody put their hand behind their back. And then there's, of course, you can't do that without the slapping, the hand clapping, Akitzer. So games are really great. And you can balance it by interspersing them at different times and different places. So if you make a schedule for yourself, think about what you want to use and when, and what do you want to... You don't want to burn through everything the first night of the Seder. Some of it you want to use the first night, some of it you want to save for the second night. Okay, moving right along. Change it up. Make sure that it's not the same old, same old. So even when it comes to what you're eating, how about that? Anybody ever try karpas? So, but this is even better. Let's go before you move on. If you put two bananas on a toothpick, it looks like a barbell. So it's zecher to the working out that they had to do. So I don't know how many people ever tried that for karpas, but it'll get some eyebrows. Where are we here? Let's keep going. It's getting late. Dressing up, you don't have, that's not me. You don't have to go all out, although you certainly can. But even if you have like an off-white or a brown, I don't know, flat sheet, and you get dressed up, and you run around the table for Avodim Hayinu, the kids will love it. Gratitude exercises. This is a great thing for Dayenu. Dr. Palkovitz, my Rebbe Muvik in psychology, is very into this idea about going around the table and talking about what we're grateful for. So sometimes you could do it on Shabbos Friday night before Birchas Habonim. You could do it for Birchas HaMazon. What do we thank Hashem for in our own lives? Great, great exercise. Very powerful with kids. So these are things that we can do that'll change from time to time. Stories. So it's not just about the macro story. It's about making it personal. Isn't that what it means when Haggadah says, Kolamar b'lesaper hareza meshubach? What do you mean, mar b'lesaper? Mar b'lesaper means the story is yours. And it's the kids. So that story is different from every Seder and every child and every person and every year. So that exists on multiple levels, this idea of a story. I think, and this, I'm grateful, I have a cousin who does, his name is Rabbi Srili Koval. He pointed me to this, and then I saw that other people were into it too. This was amazing. There was a guy by the name of Bruce Feiler who wrote this article in the New York Times, March 15th, 2003, called The Stories That Bind Us. And then there's the link on the Huffington Post, which you can get it also on the website. An amazing find. The researchers who are, this article is all about these psychology and sociology researchers who found the kids who did best in all kinds of different metrics in life were the ones who knew their family story. Fascinating. Just knowing their family story. So that was the research that Bruce Feiler was writing about. So in the Huffington Post article that's linked here on the side, the authors of the original research actually gave you the 20 questions. Like, did you know where your parents met? What country did they come from? And isn't that part of the Seder? Of the Vihigarot Labincha? Shouldn't our kids know, you know, if we're Sephardi and Ashkenazi and where that, what that means, where that comes from? Where our grandparents were during the Holocaust? Where our parents grew up? What street we lived on? What hospital you were born in? Imagine you could come up with a set of, you have the 20 questions from the researchers, and then you have 20 questions about Yiddishkeit. You know, what was the name? Our children should know what the name of their grandparents were, and their great-grandparents. Wouldn't that be beautiful? Well, you know the name of your four grandparents. What about the four grandmothers, the matriarchs? So you can have the questions of the stories that bind us on our own family, and then there's the national story. You know, where did the Jewish people live after they were taken out of Eretz Yisrael? We should know that story. So much of the Haggadah is about the history of Klal Yisrael. So that breaks down to the history of our family. Let's make sure our family knows. You know, we have great-grandparents who aren't alive anymore. Who were they? Where did they come from? How did they relate to us? It was mind-boggling. I was walking out of the cleaners on Friday when he picked up the phone because he was visiting my grandmother. He said they had this amazing research. So he said they do this in their this JFX program they have in Cleveland. And I was looking online, and now I see NCSY is into it. It's an amazing concept. I never thought about it for sure. Hopefully going to use it this year. And then there's also inculcating, including, and sprinkling in there inspirational stories. Whether they're stories from, you know, Yaffa Eliach from the Holocaust, which, of course, age-appropriate, but also amazing modern miracles, that it's not just by Yama Mahem, it's Bazman Hazeh. That's why the Bracha of Asher Galanu, according to some, I think there were actually some deos back in the day who used to say the Bracha of Sha'asa Nisim before the Haggadah, but we don't say Sha'asa Nisim, we say Asher Galanu. Asher Galanu, V'Galas Avosenu. What does that mean? It means there were two gulas, there was then and now. So we are the recipients of the Ribbono Shel Olam's Geula. So we recognize that. So being able to convey that to our kids as well. So this is kind of the summary. So to just wrap it all together, we talked about the importance of preparing for the Seder, checking out the websites, printing the stuff, just coming up with a plan when you want to use your stuff, changing it up, making sure that we have fresh ideas for the first night and the second night, not just doing it the way that we always did. Incentives, whether it's the raffle or the Seder dollars or the matzah money, whatever it's going to be. Stories, family stories, inspirational stories. Posters, decorating or finding up ways to incorporate those. Songs, if you want to make up your own or find someone else's. Lots of different options for games, and ultimately it comes back to empowering our kids so that they have the opportunity to take ownership of the chinuch, like the PSS said, so they can be machanech, the ikar machanech, and be mashush in themselves, the emunah that we're trying. So, you know, ultimately, chinuch requires a lot of siyata d'shmaya. We need a dam for siyata d'shmaya for ourselves and for our children. But hopefully, if we put in the right ishtadlus, Hashem will bless us with the ability to inspire ourselves and inspire our children. So, yashar koach. So, mir tov Hashem, everything will be available tomorrow on the Kola website with a link where you can download the articles and the prezi and the audio and all these different things.